Our first reading from Isaiah 6 is one of the most famous passages of the Old Testament. It's the call and purification of Isaiah. I guess I could talk about purification. I'm not. But God's the one that purifies you through his blood. Right? He says, I'm not worthy. Right? But he did it anyway. He was purified. He was called for service as the chief prophet in Judah. Now, this call took place in 742 B.C., the year that King Uzziah died. And Isaiah has a vision, right? He has a vision, and it's probably during the temple coronation ceremony of the next king, the son of Uzziah, a man named Jotham. Now, how many of you have ever been bored in church, and your mind starts to wander, right? Well, maybe Isaiah was so bored, he said, Lord, give me a vision because I'm not into this service. And what did he see? He saw a king on a throne, a heavenly throne. He saw God as king. That's right. Well, you know, kings aren't hard to, are hard to take. They needed a king in Israel because the other foreign countries had kings and they were beating them militarily. And they needed someone to rein in the tribes and bring them all together, right? And they needed somebody to, what, raise taxes, right? They did. But you know, Israel always knew that their true king was God himself, right? Saul wasn't up for the job. He was called to do it, but he wasn't really much of a king. And then they got David, and David was good. But you know, they had to make a promise to David that there would be someone better on the throne, Jesus Christ. Second Samuel 7:14, reigning forever. That's God on the throne. See, we know that men can't save us. And and God gave Isaiah this vision of God himself on a throne in a heavenly temple. Now, he was upset with Uzziah. Uzziah was a king, and he died of leprosy. And this is how it happened. He was so proud as king. That's what kings are always so proud. They're always overstepping their bounds. They get their hands into too many things, right? And so he thought that he had the right to offer incense in the temple like the high priest did. The Maccabees did the same thing 600 years later. They're the ones with the power, and then they think they're holy, right? Election season is coming, and you'll see it again. They'll go into the sanctuary, and they're all men of God. Well, Uzziah did it before. So the 80 priests confronted Uzziah, and they said, it's not for you, Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26:18. It's not for you, Uzziah, to offer incense to the Lord, but for the Aaronite priests who have been consecrated. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. There will be no glory in it for you from the Lord. The church is full of people seeking their own glory, trying to earn it, trying to steal it, trying to work hard at it. It's God's. It belongs to him alone. So Uzziah got angry at the priest, and they started cussing at each other, and he broke out in leprosy, and he died. Amazing stuff. Jesus. All because he tried to steal the glory of God. Now, I'm going to preach about glory today. This is a major subject. I like preaching about faith. Major subjects, grace. We've been through the grace thing 4 or 5 times. I hope there's more of that. Now we're going to do glory today, right? You know, glory is something that's very important. But how are we going to see the glory of God? How are we going to experience the glory of God? You got to have a clean eye. You got to have a clean mind if you're ever going to open the eyes of faith and see God's glory. Luke 11:34 says, if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it's not healthy, your body is full of darkness. My friends, if we're going to ever see the good things of God, the glory of God, we need healthy eyes. We need healthy minds. They need to be able to see so that the glory of God can be seen. The glory that Isaiah said that fills the earth. That's what the angel said. The glory of God fills the whole earth. I don't know about you, but I don't think all of us see the glory of God around us, right? Because our eyes are messed up. We're not seeing right. The battle hymn of the Republic. What does it say? My eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. Right? We can see it. It's all around us. But we have to have faith Faith is the way you see glory, and you have to have a clean heart and a clean mind. So what's glory? What is glory? Well, in Hebrew, the word means is kabod. That sounds like a heavy thing, kabod, right? Well, it is. Glory carries the idea of weight, of importance. And I think it goes back to the money, and that part of the world was always in a weight system. So, you know, some people think they have $10 in their pockets, they think they're glorious, right? Well, that's the idea. God's got all the money, right? He's got the weight and the importance, right? And we often hear that phrase from religious people, glory to God, glory to God. You know what they're saying there? They're saying, I give honor to God. No? You should say, glory to God, because you just experienced his glory, and it comes back and rebounds out to him. Jesus. But honor is something that we give up to God, right? But glory is something that comes down from God. It's something he shows us. It shines on us from on high. The incarnation, Jesus coming in the flesh, was a great and glorious thing. John 1:14 says what? We have beheld his glory. Glory from as of the only Son from the Father. God doesn't have to show us his glory, but when we have faith, glory comes down.
Jesus.
Now there's two types of manifestations of God's glory, right? Two types of manifestation. One, miracles, right? Things that couldn't have happened without faith and without God. That's number one. Number two is apparitions of his powerful presence, usually by light, usually by some sort of atmospheric thing, some radiance, some fire, something like that. So you got two ways to see the manifestation of God's glory: miracles and apparitions of his light, his presence through light or something like that. So God showed his glory when he parted the Red Sea. Exodus 14:18, great miracle. And then the Israelites were hungry in the desert. They're hungry and they didn't have enough in their belly. And you know how hard it is to go to sleep when you don't have enough in your belly? And what did God tell them at Exodus 16:7? He said, in the morning you will see my glory. He was going to show them a miracle. And what miracle did they get that morning? They got the manna. They got the bread from heaven. Whew. They had the glory. They had the miracle right there. And then when they were entering the promised land, they had to go through the enemy territory, the enemy city of Jericho, right? And they circled the town, the priests in procession with the Ark of the Covenant. Remember that 4x3 foot box, 3 feet wide, 3 feet deep, 4 feet long, with the mercy seat on top and the presence of the word, the tablets there. And what was on the mercy seat? Glory.
My God, hallelujah, Jesus.
So they went around the city 7 times for 7 days with the glory of God. And what else did they do? They blew the shofar, the ram's horn, right? What does that call down? Glory into battle. And the walls came tumbling down. Didn't lift a finger. All they did is blew on them glory horns, right? Okay. So glory, what is glory? Glory is the weighty manifestation, the powerful display, the powerful show of God's goodness to his people, right? And this show and this goodness can be understood with our senses. See, God doesn't need to see his own glory. We need to see his glory, right? We can see it. We can understand it with our hearts and our minds and with our eyes of faith. We can understand it and experience it, man. Okay, all right. In the New Testament, there was lots of glorious miracles. The whole Gospel of John was about his revealing his glory. One miracle after another, and John puts it in terms of revealing his glory. And then there's the raising of Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. Right? And what was Martha, Lazarus' sister, worried about? Right? What are women always worried about? What? The stink or the smell. Get out the bleach, right? That's what they're always thinking about. Well, she says, don't open up the tomb. He's going to stink. He's been there 4 days. And what did Jesus say? This is a verse that no one knows. John 11:40. Now Roderick will probably get it. John 11:40. Have I not told you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? My friend, faith reveals God's glory. Faith calls down the weight and importance of God's goodness, and it's going to come upon you, and you're going to be able to hear it and touch it and rejoice in it. Faith brings down the glory of God. All right. As for these second type of manifestations, these apparitions of his presence, concentrated presence, usually light. There are more of these even than physical miracles. This second type of manifestation is very common. In the Old Testament, glory was seen in the cloud by day that protected the Israelites going through the desert from the hot sun. That was the glory of God. And then at night, the pillar of fire kept them warm and kept the path lit up so they could keep moving if they needed to. Right? God's presence was there. It was a powerful demonstration of his glory. Now, a couple of three Saturday nights ago, and then for 3 weeks before that, at the Saturday evening Spanish Mass, for about 3 weeks straight, the glory of God came down through the agency of the Holy Spirit in the form of joy. And it was brought down by our faith. You see, if you've got the faith faculties, you've got the clean mind, you got the trust in spirit, you got the hopeful soul, you will have faith faculties, and those faith faculties will bring down the glory of God, and you'll understand it. You'll be able to say, where did that joy come from? You know? Heavy joy, important joy, settles down on the congregation, right? It's a spiritual thing, but it's heavy. And it comes upon a congregation. That joy is our strength. No one can take it away. Or when you have a wedding and everybody is into it, they know the couple, the couple's prepared. What comes down? Right? What comes down? Love comes down through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Glory comes down. It weighs on the congregation. Wow, this is really good. Now, how about a Bible study where everybody's in fellowship, everyone agrees that the word is important, we're going to live by the word, we're going to trust God, we're going to repent of our sins, we're going to live right, we're going to praise him, we're going to sing, we're going to shout it out. When you're in a fellowship like that, love comes down. An understanding, that's a manifestation of the glory of God. It just warms us up, right? It changes us. It changes us. Okay. All right, it's a weighty spirit, and that spirit can come on this church today too in some form. You know, that glory can come down, right, through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the glory of God can even appear on our faces. It can appear on our faces. Now, this world today runs on physical beauty, right? But you ever see a beautiful woman make an ugly face? They don't look too beautiful then, do they? They may be beautiful, but hey, that ain't God's glory. And then you see some homely gal, and she got the glory of God coming out of her. You say, hey, she's pretty good looking, right? God's glory can make anybody good looking. Anybody, right? It comes out on our faces, right? And you don't want to be around people who walk around like a dog with its lip hanging out of its tooth or something, caught in its tooth. You don't want to be around people like that. My goodness, you want to see people have the glory of God on their faces. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, usually it comes down, glory does, but it can come out of us too. You got to stir it up. To God belongs all the glory and honor and wealth and power, but God's Spirit lives in us by faith. Right? The only way you got anything in your temple is by faith. People say, well, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't live by faith, so what's in there? It's an empty bank account. No gold in there, right? It ain't no Fort Knox in there. It's an empty temple. And you let any other thing run right through it. You got to fill the temple up through faith, right? Okay. You form Christ in you through faith. That's what Gene Scott tells us. Anyway, so the glory of the risen Christ can come out of us and even appear on our faces. 2 Corinthians 3:7 talks about Moses when he would go before the ark in the temple to talk to God. He said, well, look, should we move the people today? Because what are those enemies up there? When are they going to come? Should we sit tight today or what? Right? He went to talk to God, and what happened? His face lit up with the glory of God. It was radiant. It was like the transfiguration of Jesus almost. Right? And the people couldn't look at him. Why is that? My theory is that it wasn't that it really hurt him that much, but see, a fallen person, they can't look on something so beautiful as the glory of God. They can't even accept it. They'd rather go after back to some nastiness on HBO or something. Right? They're more used to that. But when you see a glorious person spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're in the flesh, man, you got to turn away from that person. They bug you. Right? This is the same way with Moses. They couldn't look at him. He was too beautiful. The glory was too great. That's why they couldn't go up to the mountain. That's why they wouldn't go in the full presence of God. They were afraid. They didn't want that. It was just too beautiful for him. All right. Well, he would go before the ark, and the presence of the glory of God would be upon him, right? And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:7, he says, look, if the glory coming off an exterior ark, a law that's dead and dying and no more, if that's so great, how much more the glory of the Holy Spirit that radiates out of us?
Jesus.
How much better? 2 Corinthians 3:7. But if the ministry of death, having been engraved in letters of stone, was with glory, weight and importance of God's goodness, so as the sons of Israel could not gaze into the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, even though said ministry of the law is going to end, how much more the ministry of the Spirit will be in glory. You know, sometimes it comes down. Sometimes we got to stir it up. It's right here in our temple. And he was talking about the surpassing glory of the ministry and the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. It's in there, right? 2 Corinthians 3:11. For if the thing done away with was through glory, the law, much rather the thing remaining in glory. You know, that exterior law, that was a sunburn glory. That was a sunburn glory. That was a reflected glory. And I'm a white guy. I have to remind people of that these days. I'm still a white guy. People want to fight me at all-sups like I don't know, like I'm another race that doesn't get a fair shake all the time. Right? You know? But I came to New Mexico, and I used to get sunburn all the time. You know, and you're not used to the sun. Well, that's a reflected thing. That's a sunburn thing, right? Moses had a sunburn glory, but we got an inner glory. Isn't that good? We got an inner glory, and it gets stirred up. It comes out. It's strength from the inside out, not from the outside in. It dwells within us, that new law, the Spirit written on our hearts. That Spirit of God, the glorious advocate, the glorious consoler, the glorious teacher of all things. Right? It's in each one of us. So why do you go looking for love in every face? Huh? You know? Why do you go? You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You got the glory of God. You got the love of God in you. And you're looking for lesser lights, looking for lesser glories. My friends, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. We don't receive a sunburned glory like Moses. By repentant faith, we have the same glory that filled the Jerusalem temple. The same glory of the first Pentecost when 3,000 people came to salvation as they were infilled with the Holy Ghost. And how did they get that? They got it by faith. By repenting faith and saying, I want what those people have. Some people say they're drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. I want what they have. Acts 2:2. And what happened? Acts 2:2. And there appeared on them tongues as of fire. Well, what does that mean? Tongues as of fire is the second type of the manifestation of the glory of God. The radiance, the heat, the power, the flame, the Holy Ghost infilling that temple completely. Acts 2:2. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and these separated and came to rest on the head of each of them. In other words, the glory of God fell on them and entered their temple. 3,000 were added to the church that day because they repented with their whole heart, man. And our hearts should swell with the glory of God. Who's on the throne of your heart? Right, you're a temple. Who's there? Your old flames? That's ashes. Ain't no flames left. Hate to clue you in there. Who's on it? Your daddy? Who's on that throne? Some politician? I like politicians, but hey, come on. Who's there? Your dog? It's got to be Jesus Christ. That's the only one that can sit in the throne of any temple. The only king we have. Man. Okay, God's glory is within us. It usually comes down, but it's also within us. It just doesn't come at special moments from the outside. It's in us as well. And that means our faces should shine with the inner glow of God's glory. Okay. All right. What's going to happen in the end? In the end of time, the Holy Spirit, God's fire, is doing two things. It's judging the earth, right? Judgment will be by fire this time. No more floods, right? Judgment is going to be by fire. That's what hell is about, right? And it's the fire of the Holy Ghost judges evil, but the fire of the Holy Ghost gathers the end time church, gathers the final saved of God. And you know what? We're all going to be raptured, and we're going to go over to Israel, and we're going to reign and rule with Jesus forever. And you know how he's going to win the battle of Armageddon? You know how he's going to protect us? He's going to protect us with flames of fire, with a wall of fire. Zechariah 2:4 and 5 said, Jerusalem is to remain unwalled because of the great number of men and cattle inside. For I shall be a wall of fire all around her, and I shall be the glory within her. Glory's going to win the final battle of Armageddon, and glory is what's going to wall the eternal city of Jerusalem. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? You can't really see, it's not that big, but hey, get the idea. That's where all the saved people are going to be, walled in by the glory of God. And he's going to be the glory in the midst of that city. Forever. And ever. Light, radiance, power, joy. Walled in. There's other scriptures say the same thing. Isaiah 60:1-2. Isaiah 66:18. God's purpose always has been to reign and rule with his people Israel, the saved of Israel, and all the nations, to gather them back to Israel, right? To Jerusalem. That's always been his main purpose, and it hasn't changed. Isaiah 66:18 depicts the fire of the Holy Spirit gathering the faithful, and the fire of judgment that will destroy the lost. Listen to this, Isaiah 66:18. It, the fire, comes to gather all the nations and tongues, and they shall witness my glory. That fire comes to gather all the nations and tongues, and they shall witness my glory. Wow. That's going to be pretty cool, man. We're going to be shining from the inside and the outside with God's glory at that point. That's my message. We know a little bit about glory today.